Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are excited. We're excited about Occupy the PGA. Parks are for people, not profit. Rise up, resist, reclaim Benton Harbor. We are committed to escalating the Occupy movement. We stand for human rights, democracy, all these things, freedom to assemble, quality. We stand for education, health care, good jobs for all. Get corporate corruption out of government. Get Harbor Shores out of Benton Harbor. Stop the PGA. Stop the PGA. I tell you this, we are excited. And today is a very, very special day. We will be burning. We will be burning our NAACP card. I have well over 500 committed people who will be burning their cards. We're going to burn them at 5:15. Whatever we're doing, no matter who's talking on the program, we will stop and burn our NAACP card. It's been a real battle with them. Corporate money over the community, over the rights of the people. For many years, the NAACP has been using the black community to serve these corporations, and it's time that it stopped. We will be burning our NAACP card. All those who have been committed, who are a member of the NAACP, at 5:15 Eastern Time, 2:15 Pacific Time. That's right. And 4:15 Central Time, we will burn our NAACP card. So be ready. Be ready to take a stand. Show these people that we are not taking their crap no more. And it's important. There was a reason why Martin Luther King did not deal with the NAACP. It's a reason, but we need to know. On that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream. One day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today one day down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Today is a tremendous day. I have over 500 people who is committed to burning a NAACP card. I told some if they didn't have one to get a piece of paper and write NAACP mission statement. And the mission statement reads, "The mission of the NAACP is to ensure the political, educational, social, economic equality of rights of all persons and to eliminate racial hatred and racial discrimination." The NAACP membership department website, who dispersed this card, customer service number. They got it all on the back. You don't have to put that on there, but just put their mission statement. And I believe the mission statement is a lie. I don't believe for one second. They do whatever the corporations tell them to do. But remember, at exactly 5:15, and if I'm speaking, if someone on the line, which would probably be Ralph, I'm going to have to interrupt you at exactly 5:15, because I promised everybody at 5:15 I would do it, and I'm going to do it 5:15 Eastern Time, 4:15 Central Time, and 2:15 Central Time. But let us hear a little bit about Ralph and Lynn Stewart. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, and I've been talking to Lynn about what we are the burning of the NAACP card. And she has a 2-minute message.
Go right ahead.
Very relevant, and I have a 5-minute message.
Okay, you go right ahead. But remember, at 5:15,
which
is approximately 4 minutes away, that we have to go into and burn our cards. Go right ahead.
Right. My dear friends, supporters, and comrades, my purpose here is to rally all of us to the continuation of struggle of resistance. I am committed to all the unfinished freedom business that still confronts us, much more difficult and contentious than supporting me. I'm easy. The righteousness of my situation, the extreme overreaching of the government, and the obvious effects on the way in which lawyers, and particularly movement lawyers, carry out their obligations to their clients. Our issues, free speech from the courthouse steps, which we assume was and is included in the First Amendment. Our repugnancy at the changing of the ground rules after the game is afoot, when the higher court directs the lower court judge to increase the sentence and he complies times over. We are demanding that the court acknowledge the wrongfulness of my 10-year sentence as it is based on a foundation of sand. Of course, we also know the courts are capable of creating rock out of sand, just as they can create persons out of corporations. With that understanding, while hoping for the best, we need to commit ourselves to all the ongoing issues. Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks, the obscene vaudevillian charade of democracy that is current presidential election, the cause of our political prisoners, Leonard, Mumia, Sundiata, Jan, Brianna, Dr. DeFeer, and all the prisoners on death row and those being tortured and killed worldwide and in solitary confinement. The right to choose for women steadily being eroded by elderly men interested in controlling younger women. You know the causes. We fight every day and in every way, and we are committed. We are not sunshine soldiers or summer patriots. The misery we fight against is caused by a super terror, the USA 1%, intent on keeping people mentally subjugated by convincing them that they need to surrender in fear to the government. I believe in fighting back. It's liberating. And you meet the finest people who have also enlisted. A movement has to be a living, growing organism dedicated to change that moves. We will move, and we will reclaim our beloved country from those who would blind and subjugate our people. Onward ever, backward never. Lynn Stewart, 53504-054, Carswell Federal Prison, Fort Worth, Texas. And now I'm going to go into a little more of the unknown history of the NAACP.
Hey,
now
Ralph,
you all
remember, Ralph,
okay.
Ralph, before you do that, we only got a minute left before 5:15. Why don't you
I'll
read
give
your letter
a little introduction before I tell the history.
Okay.
A little introduction that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Lasts about a minute. Mm-hmm. Now, we all remember we're on the anniversary of Bloody Sunday, the Bloody Sunday in America. There were Bloody Sundays other places. Bloody Sunday in South Africa, where the students were mowed down by the apartheid government. Bloody Sunday in Birmingham or in Alabama, where the troops, the horses, attacked people with dogs, water hose, and guns. We have Bloody Sundays throughout our history, and we must fight these Bloody Sundays. And we want to talk about the organizations to fight these Bloody Sundays, the different organizations to confront different situations of attacks upon people, decent people. Attacks that were unnecessary, unjustified attacks. And so, with the history of the glorious South that we talk about in the movies, where black people were lynched legally, illegally, by sheriffs, etc., there were fights that were raised up against that. And I want to talk about one of the fights, one of the just and noble fights that was constructed, one of the programs and plans that was foiled by the NAACP. And we have to begin to deal with the issue of fighting for our own rights and supporting the people who fight for our rights. And I think that is the issue that we will be dealing with today. And I think this would be the moment for Reverend Pinckney to come in and talk about how we must support his struggle, because he supports our struggle. He supports us. He supports our rights. So we must be ready to defend our rights as well as the Reverend Pinckney and all of those who fight for our rights. And I'm going to launch into a short part of the NAACP history to show that they do not do
with,
that.
With Ralph,
I'm sure. Yes,
very good, but it's 5:15. Okay, I'm going to burn. Then you can come back in with that thing. But we're going to have one moment of silence, and then we're going to burn the card. So everybody out there listening, it is now 5:15, and it's time for us to burn the card. So just stop burning, because here it goes. All right, it's burning, and it's burning good. It looks good. I'm in the house. I got it. It's burning. It's burning. It's looking good. It's looking good. I knew it'll burn. Oh, but it went out. I got to burn it again. Yes. You want to hold it for a little while, Dorothy? All right. As of now, it's burnt. It's done. It is a done deal, and it's stinking up my house. But on that note, I just want people to understand how important this whole ceremony is, and we're going to have people calling me, those who didn't have an NAACP card, made them one, and they burnt it. We have well over 500 people who is committed to burning their NAACP car. And once they heard the story, I guess when we put that out there, it was such a tremendous thing that people, I guess they've been wanting to do it for a long time, but never had the nerves to do it. But on that note, I'm going to bring on Ralph. Ralph, say what you want. Give us a little history of the NAACP and take it from there.
Okay, I'm going to pick it up with Bloody Sundays, the various Bloody Sundays we had. I spoke of South Africa Bloody Sunday, the South Africa in the South where black folks were marching for their right to vote and their right to go to school, the Bloody Sunday in Ireland where the British troops opened up in a soccer stadium on the people there in the soccer stadium. And we must talk about fighting back. Now, in the middle 60s, when the most outrageous acts of brutality and terrorism were being carried out against black people in the South, children in churches, etc., there was a group of resistance of young men in the New York area. And they had decided that the time had come to teach those brutal sheriffs and the brutal people of the South a lesson. And a plan was formed to go South and fight fire with fire, to go armed, to be a fish in water, like in Mao Tse-Tung in his book, his little red book, and how people must operate to serve the people. And this plan was hatched with truck drivers to move people South and to move them out quietly. And the plan came under the information venerated name, Medgar Evers. And when Medgar Evers heard of the plan, he made a public statement under the banner of the NAACP If those militants from the North came south with guns to fight those violent white racist sheriffs of the South, he would take his shotgun and shoot them. And what that did, that uncovered the plan for the government. They knew we were coming, or that there were many people in the North ready to take up the struggle. And that ended the plan. NAACP, religious people, forgot who was on their side and who was going to fight for them, and it taught everyone a lesson. What had the NAACP learned? Not nonviolent resistance. They had learned never shoot an oppressor, never shoot a white oppressor, because when Medgar Evers said he would take his shotgun and shoot those people who were named in the program to come south to defend the people, that meant he was no longer, if he ever was, against the violence. This is one of the unstated histories, the unknown history that I'm going to tell. And I told today about the NAACP and what they're about. And there are many other stories that I think that people have to understand. But the main purpose of telling this story is to let people know that if you don't support those who support you, you will never go anywhere. Because as Henry Highland Garnett said, let your motto be resistance, and those people best capable of opposing resistance are the people most oppressed. So when we think of these issues, it all comes under one banner: self-defense and self-determination are human rights. And when you give those up, you are no longer a human. Reverend Pinckney exemplifies human rights. He's self-defense, self-determination to determine that your community shall be a viable place to live. And we must fight for that. That the corporations, as Lynn Stewart says, this terrible 1% that destroys the rest of us, must be fought, and we cannot tolerate those who would support that 1% against the rest of us. Right on, Reverend Pinckney. Forward ever, backward never. Let the struggle continue. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, you know, it's really, really been a pleasure. Tell us a little bit about the rally that you had this week. Let us know, how did it turn out?
We had two rallies. We had a rally the night before the sentencing. The rally we had intended for the rally to go all night, it turned bitter cold. And I said, I'm not here to punish the people who have come to support Lynn Stewart. So go home and get some sleep and be up early in the morning at 7 o'clock to the courthouse. Well, we had drummers, speakers, and as in letters, the Lynn's letter, you meet the finest people. But look out at the crowd on Tuesday night, the 28th of February, with the finest people there, the grannies, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Ralph Shulman, and I could just name list on and on of the people who came to support, you know, Lynn. And then the following morning, 7 a.m. in front of the courthouse, the drummers who had been there the night before were there drumming in the morning. We were all ready, and the crowd continued coming, filled the courthouse, filled the halls of the courthouse, and continued coming. Although the court proceedings began at 9 o'clock, people were coming at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, streaming in to see what was happening to their beloved sister, Lynn Stewart, because they understood that Lynn Stewart had been on their side for 40 years, and they came to support her. And this is what it's about. And I am gratified. As Lynn said, she has no faith in the court system, but she has faith in the people, as all political people do, that the people will never forget them. The people will constantly support them. So after the crowd came, we were happy with the way the court proceedings went. And now we wait for the decision. But more important than the decision, as Lynn says, it's important that people show that they remember and that they see, that their eyes are open. Now we must show that we support Reverend Pinckney, that we see his struggle is our struggle, and that we have our eyes open. The way to understand that, how do we check to know where people are? I want to see the coffers of Reverend Pinckney swell, as Mary Neal said. Send that money to support the struggle that supports you. So it has been a wonderful week, Reverend, and it's going to get better every week, because as our people begin to understand what the issues are, what they must do, that freedom is not free.
That's right.
Something you struggle for, and support the strugglers. Those down front have to have many people behind them. I'm behind you 1,000%, Reverend. Thank
hey.
You again.
Hey, I appreciate that because, hey, I've been thinking about you all week, you and Lynn, and I've been trying to figure out, hey, you know, how did it go? I know it probably won't be a decision for about 30 to 45 days, most likely.
I just left the prison. I just saw Lynn, and she says, you know, tell Reverend Pinckney I'm behind him. Even though I'm behind these bars,
mm-hmm.
I support his struggle, and it is time. Somebody stood up. Those organizations who supposedly represent us against the 1% and take payoffs to represent the 1%. And see, when I described that high school there and the idea of giving up a high school to go to a toxic dump site, the idea of giving up beautiful beachfront property, as Lynn says, you know, those blanks don't deserve a beautiful section, a beautiful spot over a beautiful lake. Well, we know the people who speak in those terms. We know who they are and what they represent. And she says, similar to the indigenous people here, they keep moving them from place to place, but the intent, the final intent, is to see them dead.
Mm.
And we must fight against that. And we've seen it before, and we're seeing it now. And she says, understand what it means. And thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for making people or helping people to understand what this really means. Yes, burn the cards.
Absolutely.
We know whose
Absolutely.
Side we are on.
That's right. And there's no hesitation either, Ralph. I tell you this, it's been a tremendous ride, and we're going to ride this baby all the way out. As they say, we're going to ride the wave, and we're going to make sure we stay focused on the issues and the issue itself. But at this time, Ralph, you got about a minute to say whatever you want, and I'm going to bring on Mary, and then we can take it from there. Say something that's going to get these folks rolling.
I'm going to repeat what Lynn had said to me. She says, what is this? The 1% needs a golf course over the interest and the beauty of the country for the rest of us? Just another example of how far they will go, of how they will never stop until we stop them. Take a golf course away from a community. Take a school away from a community to serve or to better serve the 1%. To take an airport and the government fund the airport, not for the people, but for the 1% again. We must stop them, and supporting Reverend Pinckney is a great start or a great continuation. Thank you. Words from Lynn Stewart, Roswell Federal.
Word. And remember, next time you talk to her, tell her that we burned them. We burned them. Burned the NAACP membership card right on the air. At this time, I got to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. Happy day to you.
Hey, it's a beautiful day. I tell you, the day has been a tremendous day, and I thank God for this wonderful day because, hey, I get an opportunity to burn the NAACP membership card.
Ha-ha! Well, sir, I want you to know I'm proud of you for doing that. You can read my article, NAACP versus Black Cigarette Smokers. You can read my articles in my Mary Love Justice blog about Black Confederate soldiers. And, sir, there are many, many fine wonderful, dedicated NAACP members like yourself until, you know, recently. The thing is that it's the leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's at the top. And they're not following the reason. They're not, you know, going by the reason that they were formed and the reason that people contribute to them and the rank and file anyway. Now, corporations got their own reasons for contributing, but I'm talking about the people. So I just congratulate you on you know, taking that stand and being so true to the man that I knew you to be. Because, sir, if you were one of the regular NAACP members, presidents, officers, you would never have let me warn people about the Jenny Cochran Burn Ford.
Mm.
They are in it. They're with it. I went to their town hall meetings when Katherine Johnson, the 92-year-old woman, her home was invaded here in Atlanta by police. They shot 36 or 39 bullets at her, and they hit her with six of them. As she lay dying on her floor at the bottom of her stairs, the police handcuffed her as she lay bleeding to death after they shot her six times. And while she was handcuffed and dying, they hid drugs in her home because they wanted to say that was a drug house.
Mm.
So when that happened, people were very upset. And so they started gathering in her yard, having candlelight vigils. And it made the business people very nervous to have crowds of black people standing around with fire after an elderly, harmless old lady had been shot dead by police. So, of course, that was the situation for the Cochran Burn Ford. So I'm not talking about Johnny Cochran. He's dead. And I think that Johnny Cochran may have died because he wasn't into deporting his people. So let me get that straight. He sold that law firm a couple of years before he died. Anyway, they had NAACP meetings, town hall meetings, to let the community have a chance to vent. And that way they weren't, I guess, worried about people doing anything like a riot, because they were giving them an organized way to vent their feelings about that old lady being murdered in her own home by police. And what happened is, I knew, I was looking at the news before the meeting, and I saw they had gotten the Johnny Cochran firm for that family. I said, oh, my goodness, no, they will not support that family like they did my family regarding the wrongful death of Larry Neal. So the people at my job were very upset, too, and they stayed up to work with me, Reverend Pinckney, and we made 75 flyers to show the people that the Judge Shoup's order saying there is no Cochran firm in the state of Georgia, which was a bald-faced lie. Kicking our case out of court based on a lie, saying there is no Cochran firm in Georgia, so we could not have served the paper to the right person. And they even came to court themselves and denied that they were a Cochran firm and said they had no offices in the state of Georgia. Can you believe it?
Mm. Well, you actually don't need an officer. All you need is a sponsor. You can come from any state, and you get somebody in the state, a lawyer,
well,
any lawyer.
That's not the issue. The issue is that they write there at Paul B. Street every day.
Right.
Every day, all day. You can look in the phone book and you see them right there on Peachtree Street. It's just that they go to court and lie. They're allowed to lie because I believe they're COINTELPRO. Anyway, when they said they were taking that case for that old lady's murder, I thought, oh, my God, they're going to deport that family to say the police. That's what they did when my brother was murdered. So I went to the NAACP meeting. I took all of those flyers. I made sure the head honchos at the front table got them, okay, from the head of the NAACP here in Atlanta all the way up to the people who came from the national office. And all of them, I made sure they understood that these people are frauds. It is not just a matter of them not being here in them being here in Atlanta and lying and saying they not. It's not just a matter of that, Ralph. It's what they did.
You're right. You're so right. I'm glad you raised that.
Yes, they took our case when Larry was secretly arrested and murdered and wrote us line letters, updates what I'll be doing on the case, and at the end of the statute of limitations, our case file was empty because they were working for the police that had our backs. So it's more a matter of what they did than it is a matter of how they got rid of our lawsuit.
Right.
But anyway, I wanted the NAACP to know that the Cochran firm now is on a different program than it was when Janet Cochran was alive. These white people who bought it got rid of all the attorneys that worked for him in the L.A. office, and they hired new people. And these new people are like a lot of the NAACP leadership. They are black, not by choice.
Mm.
And so the situation is critical. We have got to stand up, and we've got to, you know, it's unpleasant. It's unpleasant for you, sir. And I, even though I congratulate you on what the stand you made, I know it's unpleasant for you because you would, you know, you would like to be with an organization that the people are serious like you are, they're sincere like you are, they're trustworthy like you are, their heart is in the right place like yours is, and you really want to do what Proverbs 31:8-9 says, and that is give voice to the voiceless and defend those who are being brutalized by the system. And you'd like your organization that you're associated with to have your same principles and values, and that is not the NAACP, sir. But it is Banco. So that's why Mr. Ralph and I say to everybody that you need to be serious about this thing. Things are really getting heated up, and you need to be hooked up with leadership like Reverend Pinckney, who gave you his phone number right on his Banco site, B-A-N-C-O. He gave you his email address right on his Banco site. And I am a living witness that he will listen to you. He will talk to you. He will make time for you when you're going through. Do you have your minister's email address? Do you have his telephone number? If you call him about a problem, especially one where you are being victimized like I am by powerful people for exposing murders, covered-up murders, and police dealing with you and all that. The thing is, would your minister just say, well, I'm going to pay for you and hurry off because he doesn't want to be tied up in that. Or maybe he's already tied up in it, but he's tied up in it on the wrong side. We have lots of ministers who are already on the clergy response team, and their job is to make you compliant doing martial law. In other words, look, brother, go and get on the train now, obey the government. Do you want your minister to be more like Martin Luther King Jr.? That is what I see when I see a picture of Reverend Pinckney. That is who I think of. He plays Martin Luther King before he comes on air because I think that that's one of the people that he admires, and that's one of the people who is most like him. He's a man who believes in unity between races. He's a man who believes in all of us striving together for unity and justice for all. He believes in all of those speeches that I believe in. He believes that we can make it together, but it's going to take all of us pulling together. And when you find that your organization that you're tied up with is not one that you can really go to with any type of problem, because they're going to look at the list, and if you've been blackballed by this one, oh, no, don't talk to that one. That one is trouble. That one will... that one is trying to expose this wrong or that wrong. No, we don't need that. We need to expose what is wrong, and we need to work together peacefully to work it out, like Reverend Pinckney suggests about everything. He wants to have demonstrations. He wants to have petitions. He wants to go and speak to people. He needs a budget for these things. So now, I don't know what kind of budget was involved with him being of the president of the NAACP, but we know that we can't afford for this man to lose his stride over anything that we could do to make him even more successful as a human rights worker than he already is. and we want to propel him forward. And not just him, but we want to encourage other grassroots leaders that, look, this is what happened to Reverend Pinckney when he stood up. Okay, he stopped, maybe he stopped. I don't know how that's going to go yet, but maybe he's no longer the president of the NAACP because the organization didn't really want someone who was really, really radical about doing what's right. You know, radical, they made it a dirty word, but Jesus Christ, my Lord, well, he's a radical man. He believes in human rights. He doesn't, he believes strongly in human rights. Jesus Christ said, the Bible says that he whom the Lord set free is free indeed. He's for us being free. So I can tell you about Jesus Christ, and I tell you something. I can tell you about Ralph Porter. I can tell you about Reverend Pinckney. I can tell you about, I haven't even met Lynn Stewart, but I can tell you about Lynn Stewart. And I can tell you about so many other people who are on the grassroots level and they are fighting for our freedom. And let us do this. If you're at all able, and you know what, you are at all able. We all have something. Please, go to Banco site, B-A-N-C-O, and let's make Reverend Pinckney a budget. Let's budget him in every month or every week or every 2 weeks, however we want to do it. And let's just make a budget. Reverend Pinckney, I want you to please set up an automatic withdrawal for the people who want to just automatically give you a certain amount every month. You need to set that up, an automatic withdrawal account, so that right there on your website, they can sign up for that, and every month they can have $10 coming out or $50 coming out or $1,000 coming out quarterly or monthly, however they want to do it. Thank you.
Hey, very good. Hey, listen, I appreciate that. That was really, really tremendous. And I tell you, you know, the fight continues. So we have to know what we're fighting for, who we're fighting against, and we have to win. To me, winning is everything. So let's deal with this. On that note, let me bring in Roz. Roz, you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm just so blessed to be here today.
Hey, Roz, I tell you, it's been a pleasure. I've been getting a lot of emails from the teachers out there in California in reference to the, not the superintendent, the board president.
Oh, Monica Garcia.
You're right. What is going on out there?
Oh, it's terrible. Every time something's mentioned, they blame the teachers.
Yeah.
And there's good teachers. I don't want anybody to ever forget that. But
well,
Davey,
Roz, you know,
so
as a teacher, Roz, may I speak to you for a minute?
Yes.
One of the things we must do as teachers or those who support the teachers is educate the teachers to the reality that we're in a new era now. And the old thing of teachers' unions are gone out with the Model T Ford. There has to be something like the Prius, a new model that comes in. And
right.
The model that has to come in is something, an organization that unifies with people of like minds. And the natural unity of teachers with the children, the parents of the children they're trying to educate is a must. That unity has to be solidified and throw out any of the old union leadership that doesn't understand that. Because nowadays the teachers are in a position where they cannot strike, they cannot fight back. This corporate entity that is the Board of Education can manipulate you, move you, and most of the teachers are frightened. They cannot do anything about it, so they keep their mouth shut. So
wow.
We have to begin to think in terms of a new unity.
Absolutely.
And that is teachers with parents, because what parents want is the same thing that teachers want. We want our children educated. So we must begin to think in terms of that unity, and anybody who cannot shift to the Prius or the new model must be removed. So teachers must think of that because they do not have the strength or the ability.
All right.
Right. Everybody needs to stand up and speak up, just like you burn your card today. That's every group, that people are in. They all say they're going to help us, they're going to stand with us, they're going to make a difference, and they don't. Each one of us cannot be afraid, cannot be intimidated, cannot be harassed. We all need to stand up or we're not going to make a difference. Now, the unions pay their dues. The dues go to the other big teaching groups. They support candidates, the same old, same old. That's all we get. It's the same old people coming in. Nothing ever changes. It just gets worse. What's going on here? And I admire
that's
you.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what you're saying, Ralph. I admire Reverend Pinckney for standing up. When God closes the door, he's going to open up such an incredible door for you. And when you honor the Lord, which you have, Reverend Pinckney, he is going to bless you. He's going to bless your socks off. So just be expectant. And we've talked about how the teachers don't stand up. They must stand up. They must speak up. Even in my workers' comp case, do the lawyers, our own lawyers, stand up? No. Do their offices stand up when the judges are lying, when they're making medical diagnosis? No. But
you must join with other teachers there to join with people in the community. Form those small groups. It starts with one. It starts with an idea. Bring that idea to other teachers and see how quick that unity and the power grows with numbers.
Right. Well, we have www.perdaily.com. Lenny Eisenberg has been writing. Our stories are getting out in the media more. And I keep putting my stories or the fact I'm going to be on Reverend Pinckney's show on the sub-email list, which goes out. But you are right. Each one of us, and people need not be afraid because they've already retaliated against the teachers, against people. And so people must speak up in order to have a change, save the schools, save our country. But because I've been on the show, I put in about the fact that LAUSD violated my contract. Mm-hmm. Well, now they finally decided that it will go to a lawyer, and he will call me, and we'll talk about it.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome about that.
And don't leave us when you win.
Very good.
I am going to tell you when I win. I'm going to be here talking about it because I want people to stand up. I'm sick and tired of it. I was looking for your protest. I've been looking for you, Ralph, on the Internet to see what's happening. So, Liz, I'm sorry, Roz. Yes.
You got 1 minute to say whatever you want.
Okay, it is very important. Just like I've been talking about today, everybody must stand up and speak up. And not with such anger, but with such facts and knowledge and know and keep speaking. And God is the center of whatever you're doing. Because when we walk in the Lord, he's going to bless us through it. I couldn't have made it through 12 years of this nightmare without God and bringing me to you, Reverend Pinckney, and Ralph, and Mary. Mary's a great lady.
And I want to thank everybody. Very good. Hey, do you know David Garcia out there?
No, you mentioned him before. I called my friend George.
He's a real soldier. He's a real fighter. I'm going to see, can I connect you to him?
Yes, I would like to be connected with him. And anybody else across the country, because I'm not the only one. This goes all across the country. All the injured people on workers' comp, the teachers, the other injured workers, this is a nightmare. The only people making money are the insurance companies, the fraudulent doctors and lawyers.
You're absolutely correct. And on that note, I got to bring on Libby. Libby, are you there?
I'm here, and I am reading from bhbanco.org. That's Benton Harbor, bhbanco.org, which has all the news about Benton Harbor, Michigan, and what Whirlpool is carrying out there, which is can be called genocide. Currently, the latest attack on Reverend Pinckney, who stands up for justice in Benton Harbor, is actually coming from the NAACP. And so this is Thursday, March 1st on the website. NAACP teams up with Whirlpool, ? Reverend Martin Luther King refused to be involved with the NAACP. He was not a member. Reverend Edward Pinckney is beginning to think King did the right thing. on his program, Pinkney to Pinkney, he called for all NAACP cardholders to burn their membership cards, which I know just happened. The Michigan NAACP has announced that it will come to town, and this should also say the national is involved as well, on April 14th to hold a special election to vote out Reverend Pinkney from his president. He's currently the president of the local Benton Harbor chapter. He was elected by a very wide margin. Marcus Robinson, Whirlpool employee, is currently giving free NAACP memberships to those who promise to vote against Pinkney. So that's the beginning of that post. And then one more shorter post for March 2nd says, never before has Whirlpool been this bold. For the first time that we can recall, Whirlpool has come right out in print and declared a takeover, in this case, of the NAACP Benton Harbor chapter. It's stunning, shameless, and unbelievable. Whirlpool employee Marcus Robinson is circulating an email that has come to our attention. The content is screaming his desire to rid NAACP Benton Harbor of Reverend Edward Pinkney. Admittedly, one has to be intimately acquainted with the politics of Whirlpool and the Twin City area to read between the lines of this email. From the Marcus Robinson email are these sentences. The State Commission of the NAACP and their national office has decided to undertake the reorganization of this chapter. And now here we go. With specific intention of revitalizing the leadership and membership body. Contact Marcus Robinson by cell phone or by inbox. And I can say his phone number in case anybody listening would like to call and tell him what they think of him being a Whirlpool stooge and attempting this ouster of Reverend Pinkney as the president of the NAACP. Before I give his phone number, let me just say that Reverend Pinkney has initiated and organized a protest in May, which is Occupy the PGA. And, of course, this probably has everything to do with Reverend Pinkney's effort here to protest in Benton Harbor at the golf course while this gigantic tournament is going on May 23rd to 27th. And this is being organized all over the country. You know, there are going to be people coming from everywhere for this. So we urge everybody to contact Marcus Robinson, who's trying to get Pinkney out of the NAACP. Let him know what you think. Let him know what you think of him working for Whirlpool, being involved with one of the most blood-sucking corporations on the face of the planet, outsourced all jobs, I mean, left an entire area without work, and they still have their headquarters there. Okay, Marcus Robinson's cell phone, 269-277-7711. And then there's also a Facebook address for him, so you can go at bhbanco.org and get this information. It's right at the top. And that's all I've got.
Hey, that's enough. That's beautiful. I'm just so happy that you mentioned Occupy the PGA, because I tell you, that is going to be a tremendous event. Right now they're doing everything within their power. They're trying to block streets, block areas, to make sure that we won't be able to go through them. But Occupy the PGA is alive and well. We are also preparing for them, because we're going to rise up, resist, and reclaim. And we're going to make sure that Benton Harbor be moved to a whole different level. And that's May 23rd through the 27th. May 23rd is the big day. On May 23rd, Libby will be beating the drums. And that's a blessing all by itself. On May 26th, Libby will be beating the drums. We want to make sure that people understand we're going to meet at City Hall, 200 Wall Street, and we're going to march to Gene Clark Park. They are saying that we can't go to Gene Clark Park, but we're going there anyway. We are committed to escalate the Occupy movement. We stand for human rights, democracy, free speech, freedom to assemble, fairness, equality. We stand for education, health care, good jobs for all,
Get corporation corruption out of government. Get Harbor Shores, Whirlpool, KitchenAid out of Benton Harbor. Boycott all Whirlpool products. All. Not some. We want them all. Every last one of them. Listen, on that note, I'm going to give everybody 1 minute to say whatever your heart desires, and I am going to start with Ralph. Ralph, go right ahead.
First thing I'm thinking of is what are the bylaws of the membership where somebody can give out a card or purchase a card today and vote tomorrow? And
well,
I love the idea that we send letters and give us the name of the national, or we should all look up the national headquarters and look to our local NACP and make our local leaders of the NACP call the national and investigate what's going on out there in Benton Harbor. We know what's going on, but we must let them know that their positions, if they do not support us, if they do not support you, are in jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to give you Ben Jealous' email. And next week, I'm going to have his email, and I'm going to give it to everybody so everybody can start emailing. We're going to put on another brutal attack, and we're going to keep them busy because we have to stay on top of what we're doing. The NAACP, burn your card.
The NAACP
everybody.
In New York.
I felt so good burning the NAACP card today that I wish I had another one to burn. I tell you that. But listen, I got to go to Mary, give her a minute to say whatever she wants, and go right ahead, Mary. You got 1 minute, and keep it at 1 minute.
All right, then, sir. Well, with that 1 minute, I want to report to everybody that the Ramapo people who the Cochran firm defrauded in New Jersey found my article letting them know why they only get $12.5 million when their case was for $3 billion. These are Native Americans, and they are part black, and so they qualified for the Cochran firm court. We made contact, and I'm not at liberty to say anything else, but I want you to know that they realize now what's happening. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you, Reverend Pinckney. I thank God for you, Ralph. I thank God for you, Rosie. I thank God for our listening audience, because I'm going to tell you the truth. These people are so on me, okay, destroying my emails, destroying my articles. I cannot get into my wrongfordeathlarryneal.com emails this week. And they are so on me that I am convinced that if it wasn't for everybody, more people knowing about this through Reverend Pinckney's show and knowing about this because Google does not censor, I advise everybody to hang with Google and to support Google because they let my articles show. They do not hide when people are in controversy with powerful people. And I
want
to thank God for Google. So please, everybody, support the people who are for free speech. Support Reverend Pinckney and pray for me. Mary Neal, look me up online. That's MaryNeal. I have Ben Justice's email address.
Okay.
And the
all right,
email
thank you, Mary.
I will
thank
not
you.
Email to him. Bounce.
All
he
right.
Bounces name.
All right, Mary. All right, go ahead, Roz.
I just want to ask for everybody's prayers because we're waiting for the raiding, coming back from the raiders so the judge can make the decision, and that will go fast, and then we can appeal it, and just the right words from my attorney, and I thank God for my attorney that has really stuck for me this whole time. And I thank God for you, Reverend Pinckney, and I don't want anybody to forget that God is in charge and God is going to take this through this with an unexpected, incredible blessing for all of us.
Hey, very, very good. Libby, go right ahead.
Reverend Pinckney does court observation every day in the Berrien County, Michigan courthouse. And we should all be doing that everywhere, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know one thing? Everybody should get to the courthouse and just court watch and keep an eye on these creeps because I tell you this much, this is something that needs to be done. And in my closing remarks, I'm going to say this to everybody. Occupy. Occupy. Occupy the PA. Occupy. Occupy.
occupy the PGA, Benton Harbor, Michigan. Be there. We're going to start May 23rd to the 27th. Saturday, May 26th is the big day. Be at Benton Harbor City Hall, 200 Wall Street. We are committed. We are committed to escalating the Occupy movement. We want people to know that we're serious about what we're doing. We know they're going to do everything within their power to try to stop us, but we are prepared mentally, morally, socially to deal with this. We're just not prepared economically to handle this, but we're moving. We're moving in the right direction. I want people to know here, we're going to every single Sunday, I want people to burn their NAACP card. And normally the normal time is 5:15, and I won't, if you feel like burning them any other time, just burn them. Because I tell you, we got to send a message to the NAACP. We're sick and tired of their crap. They're a powerful enough organization to start making these corporations do the right thing. But if they did make the corporation do the right thing, the corporation will cut them off. Only thing the NAACP cares about is that Freedom Fund dinner. And that we send them money. You know, I have sent them so much money that it's a shame. And they had done nothing for us. Nothing at all. But I am going to tell everybody here, we have to make the NAACP either put up or shut up or go out of business. It's a 102-year-old organization, and we got to make them work. Because if you don't make them work, they will not work. I'm telling you that the girl down in Detroit, she's been the president down there for over 10 years and had did exactly nothing down there. Matter of fact, people wish that we could run her out of town. But look, on that note, I got to go. But, Ralph, I will be seeing you soon. Did you get my email?
Good night, my friend, my family, my comrade. Yes, I did.
Okay, well, I'm there. You might even have to pick me up at the airport. So let's see how we deal with that. And I will talk to y'all soon. Roz, you have a beautiful week. Mary, you have a beautiful week. Dorothy, you have a good week. And Ralph, hey, you have a great week. And you tell Lynn that we love her very much. And we're going to keep fighting until she come home.
You got that.
All right. On that note, I got to say good night. Everybody have a real good week.
Good night, all.
All right. Take care now. Bye now.
Bye.